And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Power Hour. I'm your guest host, filling in, Dr. A. Truad. Yeah, here in the mountaintops of the Wasatch Peaks in beautiful Utah, coming to you live. Folks, it's a pleasure. It's a privilege and a pleasure to fill in again. I've been such a fan of the Power Hour myself, with going back to the formations of the show with Joyce Riley. My goodness, what a long-standing heritage that's been there and continues on. And so I'm just pleased to fill in and do what I can. Folks, yeah, we can. I appreciate that it's important to go into headlines and to see what's happening across the board. But, you know, most people listening to this show, I perceive and I believe to be fully awake in a lot of ways. So we'll kind of forego with a little bit of the headlines and just come back to what I think personally is probably the most important topic to consider. And that is, what are we living in as far as a government? Are we living in a republic or a democracy or even an oligarchy, a rule of the elite? What's really going on in America? And I think we can, you know, I personally think it's most important to talk about that, those definitions, and understand exactly what it was our founding fathers framed after they routed the British, as we are told in the history books, when Cornwallis surrendered. And Cornwallis evidently said, well, you can form your own government, and in fact they wanted to have a republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. But there came Cornwallis was mocking. He says, it's fine if you can hold it. If you can hold on to it, you're doing really good. And that became the challenge, framing the Constitution, getting 13 colonies to come together, to everybody to kind of understand the common good, the common goal, and define what is a republic versus a democracy. So, my goodness, it's really not, and I repeat, not, if you understand history, and if you understand the actual words that were spoken in debate in the 13 colonies and Constitutional Convention, the first one, you have to understand what that was being forged out of nothing, really, being forged the basis of what we have today, or should have today, I should say. Folks, we seem to get all caught up and wrapped up in the rhetoric that we have the right to vote. We have the right that we believe, oh golly, to go in there to the polling booth and push some buttons, pull some knobs, maybe punch a couple things on a ballot and say, we've done a good job. We might get a little sticker that says, I voted, with a little red, white, and blue sticker, and make you feel good about it. But is that really what a republic is? Is that really even what a democracy is today? Well, I wanted to go into this topic. We had a special guest scheduled today. I don't see that he's hooked up for whatever reason. We'll try to bring him in if he does. Here in Utah, there's an amazing story that I think has national, even international implications on what really is the form of government we live under. Okay? If you understand the process at all, ladies and gentlemen, and hopefully, you know, we can just talk about the basics. We go through, in most instances, historically, the grassroots is what really chooses the candidates. Not some big, smoky backroom ball, you know, room filled with billionaires or multimillionaires, as the case may be, big party bosses. No, it really should begin at the grassroots, the levels where your friends and neighbors all gather together to choose what's called delegates to what? A state convention. Now, it could be a two-party or even a three-party form historically, okay? You go through the origins of the Republican Party, so-called, and the Democratic Party. But back in the day, there were Whigs, there were anti-Masonic parties. There were all of these that just basically gathered together to exercise the grassroots will of the people. Of the people, by the people, for the people. Those words, again, infamous words that Abraham Lincoln uttered at the battlefield of Gettysburg. The Gettysburg Address, very short, very sweet, but very powerful. That this republic of the people, this government, this republic of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. I submit that's what so many patriots and people have bled and died for since the Revolution, since the Civil War, to defend that republic from a government. Folks, of the people, by the people, for the people. So important to understand the difference in the concepts of what exactly is a republic versus a democracy. Now, if we get Phil Lyman on the phone, it'll be great to segue into his story. But let me just kind of give you an overview. Hopefully, he will have him on explaining what's really going on from the horse's mouth, first person, not hearsay. Phil Lyman's story is amazing. He began to understand as a county commissioner in a rural county of Utah, a rural county that's dominated by the federal government in the Bureau of Land Management and Forest Service, where there's over 90% of the land owned by the federal government, not the people. It's a bureaucracy. And so he is a county commissioner. He has to come to say, well, I represent the people, not the land, not the deer, not the elk, not the birds, but the people. That's what we do as in a county commissioner status. And he was just amazed because there was so much federal bureaucracy dictating policy above and beyond the power of the county commissioners, which represented the people. So that's where he began to realize there is a problem that needs to be addressed. Federal overreach that seems to dictate to the people, not the other way around. Phil has had the belief that government, and whether it's federal bureaucracy or state bureaucracy or even county, they are subservient to the people. They are the servants, not the masters of the people. But that became pretty readily apparent that there's something, some problem. The wheel is not running the way it should be. So he began to be very much active in telling the people, listening to people's voice, and advocating for the people. And so he organized a protest against some of the overreach of the BLM in the form of just riding on county roads, county maintained county roads, not government. These are back roads of the area of Blanding, Utah. Red Rock, beautiful country, by the way. And he was immediately, because there was nothing trespassing against riding on county maintained roads. They never went off road at all. And yet, 5 months after this, he was notified that he was to be under arrest and charged with a conspiracy against the government, okay, for trespass. Long story short, Phil Lyman ended up being fully arrested and had to serve 10 days in jail, a hardcore facility awaiting a resolution of the case, and over $400,000 in legal fees later, he was basically convicted of a misdemeanor. And as Trump was leaving office, as President Trump was leaving office in 2010, he took it out upon himself to issue Mr. Lyman a full pardon. Amazing, amazing story. even though it's a misdemeanor, it's the principle of the thing. So you see, this is why I want to have Phil explain his whole story, but I'm giving the basics. So after seeing this happen, and he went up, he graduated up a little bit from the county commissioner's seat to a seat in the House, Utah government house, Utah state government, as a representative, Phil Lyman, and then saw that it was just as bad, if not worse, among the state legislators. Seems like, according to Phil Lyman, that big money and big interests, special interests, even those on a national and even international global scale, seem to be dictating state politics. And this didn't sit well with Phil. So last spring, he decided to run for governor of Utah, with an incredibly unique platform, which simply is, I am the people's choice. I will listen to the people, not special interests. And the theme resonated so powerfully, ladies and gentlemen, that going into the state Republican GOP convention, and by the way, Utah is a very, very red state. Republican dominates a lot of it, Republicanism. And so if you get into the general election and not have to go through a primary, it's the people, the grassroots from all counties have made their assessment. So what happened is this. Phil Lyman presented his case to the people of the delegates from the caucuses, from the grassroots. And when the dust settled, Phil Lyman had well over the 60% votes of the delegates needed to go straight to the general election, not having to go to a primary. He got over 67% of the vote. And keep in mind, he's going up against an incumbent, very powerfully backed with a lot of special interests, Governor Spencer Cox, and his lieutenant governor, Deidre Henderson. Wow, it was stunning. In all the history of Utah politics, and I think any state politics, it's very, very rare, if ever, that a new candidate wins the convention at 67%. And no more. Oh, no, they're not supposed to be a primary. The law says, it's very clear, it goes right to the general election, which is November. Well, special interests and money and the power machine said no. There is a caveat that if you don't go into the convention, and you can bypass the will of the people in Utah by amassing 28,000 signatures in a petition, 28,000. And if those 28,000 are verified, then you can enforce your right to be on the primary election, which was held in the end of April. Now, well, that's interesting, given that you have to, the Lyman campaign has every right under the law to verify the process. It's called total you've got to be able to verify. You trust that it's accurate, but there's verification through an audit process. Every bit of the right to check those signatures. Now, turns out that there was just a slight, just over 28,000 signatures supposedly created, and a lot of individuals that claimed that they were, that signed, they came to Phil and said, "This, I never signed this." And he did an investigation, and there was, well, a large number that was basically, appears were signed fraudulently and even were forged. And that's an important consideration, because if you don't meet the threshold of 28,000, there is no legal justification to be on the primary. So the primary election was held. There was the polling showed that even, again, exit polling, the general consensus was that sitting Governor Cox, is not popular among the rank and file of the people, by the people, for the people. Yet he, in the primary, he shows that he ousts and basically beats Lyman. Now that's goes back into questionable counting methods of electronic voting. That's where I think they were banking on that. Because let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Utah is the epicenter of electronic vote scamming. Now I've studied this for over two decades. I've seen where it has evolved into the use of the electronic tabulation through. There it is. We got Phil on the line. Well, I'm just great. Thanks for punching in. Phil, are
Hey,
you with us?
I am. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I'm coming in a little bit late, but yeah, sounds like a great discussion.
Well, I'm setting the table for you, Phil, okay? But I want you to just say, I'm talking to the point now. We don't need to rehash it, but I've explained where you came from, county commissioner to the Congress or to the Utah delegation, Utah legislature, and what led you to put your hat in the ring as governor. Now I'm to the point where, okay, I explained that you took the convention 67% to 33% with the incumbent Spencer Cox sitting governor. My goodness, not anywhere, not being allowed by law to go on to a primary. Now we're to the point now of explaining to the people listening that there is some real questions of impropriety in the signature gathering process to even be put on the primary. So explain to the people listening, and I want people to call in the second hour for sure and talk to you directly on this, but Phil, please explain the problem. What as a candidate and you feel there's some really dirty pool happening, it doesn't smell right. And so you go to exercise your rights to verify, to have be transparent, have transparency in this. And you actually, which is a great move in my estimation, you ask the Utah Supreme Court to weigh in. You don't want them to overthrow the primary results. You want to just make sure that the way they got on the primary was legal, which means just have transparency and having all the signatures gathered be verified. And
Right.
what happened with the Supreme Court?
Well, the Supreme Court, Utah Supreme Court, basically refused to hear the case. They didn't listen to it. They dismissed it. They quoted a few things that said, I'm arguing to have Spencer Cox and Deidre Henderson thrown out of office, and that can't happen. So just sit down and shut up. But the bigger narrative on this, I think, true, is the gaslighting and the tactic that goes on when people decide that they're going to maintain their authority, their power, no matter what. I call it the syndicate, and there is a syndicate of people in Utah with money and investment and a lot of decades now of kind of controlling these things. They're not going to let somebody like me come in and take it. And so they will cheat. They'll do whatever it takes to maintain that authority. And the courts are all appointed by the governor. So you go to in front of a judge, and you're not surprised when he just has nothing but contempt and disdain for you. And what I think is happening is people are waking up and saying, "Hey, this is rigged. This is against us." And part of this media push of, "Oh, you're election deniers. Oh, you're unreasonable. Oh, you're that. That's just a ridiculous argument." All that's just intended to intimidate people, and it works really, really well. And all of the legislators buy into it. All of the leadership buys into it. It's a very top-down thing, and everybody kind of backs back into their assigned, seating. And then we say, it's not popular to say that an election was stolen. It's not popular to say that someone's corrupt. It's not popular to say these things. And so we don't. And then as a result, they get what they wanted. They move on, and then they say to everybody, you know, let's all disagree better. Let's just all get along. And this divisiveness is hurting us. And it's like, as long as they're getting everything they want, then it's all, you know, pontificating about virtue and being nice and you know, unity. And but man, they're not that way when they're being challenged on anything. They turn into the most hostile, vicious people writing op-eds, and they always are punching down. They're always punching down on somebody below them to maintain their power. And I've never done that. I don't punch down. I only try to punch up, and we've got to do it. Otherwise the bullies just rule the day. And the narrative is that they're the reasonable ones, and they're not. They're just not.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the whole concept of where this country is heading. I submit, and I've said this, you know, your guest on another show that I hosted last Friday did a fantastic job with that, by the way. And we the people have to rise up peacefully through making our voices heard. We have to stop it. I mean, what happened on January 6th of 2021, okay, that was 99% peaceful, but yet there were agitators in the crowd that actually crossed the line, paid agitators, I must say, and Nancy Pelosi even admitted to that. See?
Oh, yeah, agents provocateurs. There's over 100. According to the official, you know, hearings that they're having, over 100 federal agents provocateur, and that's, I mean, it just tells you they're up to something. And if you look at it like teams, and our team just constantly is lied to, and we have to believe it or we go to jail, and so we all just believe it. And at some point, you say, you know what, we're not doing this anymore. And I think you know, these last 4 years, I think a lot of people have gotten to the point they're just saying we're just not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, we got it. We got to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest, Mr. Phil Lyman, gubernatorial governor candidate. I'd say governor of Utah, in my book. He's Dr. Rafe Schrott, guest host. We'll be right back with his message. Please stay tuned.
Empower your day by tuning in to the Power Hour Live every weekday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Central Time. Join us for dynamic discussions and call in with your questions or comments at 888-627-6008. Can't make it live? No worries. You can catch the replay anytime 24/7 by visiting thepowerhour.com. Want to stay in the loop? Sign up for our daily newsletter to get show archives and guest info straight to your inbox. And if you're a podcast fan, we've got you covered on all major platforms and devices. So whether you're tuning in live or catching up on your commute, the Power Hour is always within reach. Don't miss out. Join our community and make every hour a Power Hour. Power your life with the best health, wellness, and readiness products from thepowermall.com. Each purchase you make doesn't just benefit you, it also supports independent news media. That's right, you're backing the good guys who bring you the truth. Feel good knowing that every dollar you spend helps small businesses grow. Imagine a community where your health is optimized and your mind is well informed. That's the future you're building with the Power Hour and the Power Mall. So, take the step today. Empower your wellness and support independent media. Shop smart, shop independent, shop thepowermall.com. Together, we make a difference.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean black seed oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself. Come find the best prices on black seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
If your wellness routine needs a boost, you're in for a treat. Meet vitamin B17. Did you know that vitamin B17, also known as amygdalin, is a natural compound found in plant-based sources like bitter apricot seeds? It's time to explore how this powerful nutrient can support your overall well-being. Our vitamin B17 capsules and bitter apricot seeds are made with the highest quality standards, ensuring each product is pure, potent, and packed with benefits. Imagine starting your day with a boost of natural goodness. Vitamin B17 is known for its potential health benefits, from supporting your immune system to promoting general wellness. And for those who prefer a convenient option, our extra potent B17 500 milligrams capsules are here to help you on your journey to better health. Why choose Richardson Nutritional Center? Because we believe in providing you with the very best. Our products are meticulously processed to maintain their natural integrity and efficacy. Your health and satisfaction are our top priority. So what are you waiting for? Embark on a natural journey to wellness today. Head over to thepowermall.com or give us a call at 877-817-9829 to place your order. Discover the health benefits of vitamin B17 and take a step towards a healthier, happier you with Richardson Nutritional Center. Act now and feel the difference.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Now, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, your guest host, Dr. A. Truad. This is perhaps the most important topic any guest host or any straight host could actually discuss. Because if we don't have a vote, I mean, if we really don't have a means to make our choices heard, we really have nothing, and we are slaves. But probably the best quote that's here on my wall, here in my office where I'm broadcasting today, is this quote by Johann Goethe, the German philosopher, and he said it best. It's so apropos, I want to just say it again. No man is more hopelessly enslaved, Goethe wrote, than he who falsely believes that he is free. Now, how do you know that you're falsely believing you're free? Because when you don't have... you have an absolutely manipulated vote. There's also, I mean, I've studied here. I've got quotes from Joseph Stalin in the 1920s and his memoirs and his books, well documented. He says, I don't care that people vote. All I care about is who counts the vote and how. 1923. That's the central plank of the Communist Manifesto, to make people believe that they are free, when in truth, they're not. So we have to understand the basic concepts I submit. So my guest today on the Power Hour, again, thank you so much, Phil, for you're so busy. You got so many irons in the fire. Thanks for taking the time to come on and just plead your case on a bigger audience of the nation. I say this because on a national scale, what's happening in Utah is, in my opinion, critically important to understand. So thanks again for coming on, Phil. Anything else you want to add? Open the phone lines up for questions.
Oh, well, I mean, thank you for having me. I agree with you. I think this is the most important topic coming into this election is, you know, is it going to be a fair election? And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but, you know, Deidre Henderson, who's our lieutenant governor here in Utah, she had a conference last week, and her big message was, doubt the doubters. Anyone who's saying that there's problems with our elections, doubt what they're telling you. You know, believe us. Trust us. Don't think, because, and basically she said, our systems are are essentially perfect. We are the gold standard, and no government should ever have that feeling about itself. They're a servant, and government is, you know, flawed at best. And you're always trying to, you know, and that's what she should say. Hey, we're doing our best, and we appreciate people who are willing to, you know, identify problems. Instead, it's like this intimidation. And the way she was saying it, she's like shaking her finger and she's shaking her fist and telling people, do not believe these people that are telling you that there are issues. And it's, again, if you go back to that, you know, us versus them, it's like they're not afraid to just throw down with everything they've got, and we tend to shrink. And it's not, we're just not doing it in Utah. We're not doing it this go around. So,
well, at least Phil Lyman is not. That's why I think your story has to be told. That's why when I was invited to be a guest host, I thought, my golly, Phil has got to share his story.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, and it will get you landed in jail. You know, that's what we found too. Like they'll take it all the way. You know, and we don't have the ability to just say, hey, we don't like that. You should sit in jail for a while. But they have that ability, so it's definitely intimidating.
Here in my home library, Phil, I have a lot of books. I did many. I chaired many studies on constitutional Congress. Understanding what our rights, so-called rights, are under the U.S. Constitution, because if you don't know what those rights are, how are you going to ever exercise them? I didn't know I had a chance to go to dinner, and I highlighted this this quote that was attributed to Benjamin Franklin. I think it's so apropos today. Our founding father, you know, Franklin he's a wordsmith. You know, he knew how to use words. Whether it's in the pages of Poor Richard's Almanac or what have you. But this quote I thought is so great. It says this: democracy. Now, the debate in the Continental Congress convention was democracy versus a Republican, democracy, republic. That was what was being debated. So Franklin said this, and it kind of got people laughing. But it's turned the tide. Let me say it again. Here it is. Benjamin Franklin quote, democracy, my fine gentleman, is two wolves and a lamb voting out what's to have for supper. Liberty, which is synonymous, they were debating liberty as being synonymous with the republic. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. Ooh. That pretty much says it all, doesn't it, Phil?
It does. It is. So, yeah, it fits so perfectly.
So, we're little lambs, okay? We the people don't have the billions and billions of dollar and power in the shadowy halls. But, you know, we have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, a well-armed lamb doing what? Contesting the convention? No, contesting the vote. Because if you don't understand how important the vote is and contest it, you have nothing. You don't even have a democracy. Okay? Right. You have dictatorship under, like, Stalin-esque. And I just want to just put this out there to our listening audience, Phil. I want you to comment on it. At least in the Republican GOP convention, there was at least a semblance of a choice. We have Donald Trump, of course, leading the way, but there were other candidates that came forward, and they were at least able to present and take a vote. When the dust settled, it was Donald Trump. And, of course, his running mate that took the banner. But we see this is what really people don't seem to grasp. That never happened in the Democratic National Convention. There was no vote.
I know. Crazy.
There was no vote. It was an appointment.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're supposed to just go along with that. And it's not – I don't think that's ever happened before. But it's just like, it's like, and they just give you that kind of that blank look, like, what are you going to do about it? You know, there's nothing to see here, folks. And we just go along. Not that we could do something about it, but it's astonishing that, that we're in that in this situation with Kamala for sure. And I don't know why the Biden side isn't upset by it.
Yeah, in 2016, I think he is, but he just, you know, he doesn't have the capacity to fight it.
Right.
Go back
right.
to 2016, and I you know, I don't agree with Bernie Sanders' form it's a different form of communism, and it's still, you know, totalitarianism, or be that as it may, but Bernie Sanders had quite a powerful following in that convention. Yet you see what happened. He was manipulated out, and his votes weren't even tabulated correctly. It was scam in the DNC convention. Everybody that knew it was like, what in the world is that all about?
And when you talk about election, you know, election cheating, people just accept it. They just act like, oh, well, you know, that's part of our elections now. And our, you know, when they come out and say, oh, there's, you know, a million extra registered voters in Texas, people just kind of shrug their shoulders, like, well, it's no surprise. But 20 years ago, that would have been shocking. People would have said, you know, that's fraud, that's cheating. But now we've just kind of gotten accustomed to, and I call it gaslighting from the left.
It is, and it goes back into the old quote, how do you... it's so true. How do you boil a frog? You know, the frog, if, you know, still viable, puts in the hot water, he'll just jump right out. You got to slowly raise the temperature. And before long, the frog is cooked before it even knows it. It's just little degrees, little more and more until the point where the frog is a dead frog. And I think that's what's happening with this republic. I have this debate all the time, Phil, with people on my... I've been doing radio broadcasting for well over three decades, as I explained to you before. And so much of the time as I get on with people, I welcome people's input. I welcome their thought process because it helps me understand my listeners too. It's not just me pontificating, right? And so people come back and say, well, we got to hold on to this democracy. I said, who says we have a democracy? Well, of course we do. I said, do you, as a kid growing up in school, do you ever raise your hand and cite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? He goes, well, of course I have. I served in the military. Of course, I understand the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you really? What words are you speaking, sir? I have this, or woman, as the case may be. It's like, read it with me. I pledge allegiance to what? The flag of the United States of America. And what? It's and, not or. It's and to the republic for which the flag stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hello, where does it say to the democracy upon which it stands? And they look at me like, what's the same thing? No.
Oh, wow.
No,
yeah.
No, it's not. We are not a democracy.
No, they're... not even close.
But Phil, it's amazing the a lot of the people, and especially the younger people coming up, they've been so brainwashed to believe, oh, we're going to go fight for democracy. We even have the rhetoric, oh, the biggest enemy of democracy is Donald J. Trump. He's enemy of democracy. Good. I hope he is. I hope Phil Lyman is an enemy to democracy. I hope you're the best friend of the republic for which it stands. The grassroots, this is the whole battle here in Utah, Phil, as I see it, the microcosm. Mm-hmm. You are the champion of we the people through the process of grassroots through the convention. Only those who wish to circumvent that, to take away the voice of the people, will have these stupid news Senate bills to have, you know, you can go on to the primary election where we can control it through our electronic skullduggery. That's the way I saw it from the get-go, with this whole Senate bill that passed. You want to talk about that for a few minutes?
Yes. SB 54 was passed in 2014, so 10 years ago, and it basically just said that there was an alternate way to get onto the primary ballot, which was by gathering signatures. So a person could in the case of a statewide race, it's 28,000 signatures that you have to get, and they have to be valid signatures of age in-state residents of the Republican Party. And so they gather a lot of signatures, and some of those get thrown out. But if they get to 28,000, then they're given a spot on the primary ballot. The difference, which is really interesting this year, is the rules clearly state for the Republican Party that if you get over 60% of the vote at convention, then there is no primary, and you go straight to the general. You go straight to the general ballot. So this year, it was the first year that in the state's history that an incumbent governor has failed to get at least 40% to force a primary. So Spencer Cox did not qualify for a primary via the convention, and I qualified to go straight to the general ballot because I won the convention with over 60%. But they come and they say, "Oh no, I got signatures, so you have to do a primary." And then I say, "Well, I want to see the signatures." "No, you can never ever see the signatures." It's interesting because a week before that, people were asking for school board signature packets. "Oh yeah, come in. Yeah, here they are. You can thumb through them, and we'll send you the list." It had all the withheld, all the private, everything that was on there. It's like, there's the list. You can knock yourself out right up until we asked to see the governors. And then it was like, at first it was a long delay, and then it was, "No, you may not see these. You may never see these. And how dare you ask?" And so we challenged it. We said, "Well, we don't think he's got his 28,000 signatures." It was a very slim margin. And with anyway, I'm getting off topic, but that's what SB 54 said. Okay, get signatures, and you can get onto the primary ballot. And if you win the primary, then you can get onto the general ballot. But it didn't say get signatures, and you can force somebody who legitimately won their spot on the general ballot to have to go through a primary with you. But that's what they did in this case. And so we're challenging
that. That's where the Supreme Court has to rule in. And
the U.S. Supreme Court has been really firm about that, that the state legislatures do not have the right to interfere with a party's right of association. We have the right of association, which means we can pick our candidate. And so this is going to be an interesting case. Like I say, there's never been a governor who didn't qualify for a primary by getting at least 40% at convention. So Spencer Cox has broken the mold there. And then also there's no primary because there wasn't anybody else that got signatures. So he's the only one that got signatures. He's the only one that didn't qualify at the convention. And he's saying, "Well, I did qualify with my signatures, and I qualified because I won the primary." And so, yeah, not only can we not see his signatures, the cast vote records and things that you can do to analyze the election itself, we've been completely barred from seeing any of that stuff. Stuff that would have been posted on the county's website 4 years ago is now, you know, never to be viewed by anyone's eyes but the lieutenant governor's.
It's just flat out circumvents the whole thing. And like I said, I don't know if you were able to listen to my first 10 minutes where I was just kind of going into the whole concept from our founding fathers, and the whole constitutional convention is to listen to the people, the farmers, the merchants, the business owners. That's who you represent. You're the servant, not the master. Jefferson understood that. He says a republic is of the people. You listen to the people. The delegates to the convention are the servants of the people. I have to take this back and let my town meetings know and listen to the voice of the people, see? And that's where it all began, Phil, and there's no better way to do that than through the caucuses of the, you know, sure, there's going to be some people with the caucuses that it's going to be special interests, but it's not the majority. It's people that really, really care about the process that's involved. People, the counties, rural counties.
Yes, counties are where it's at, really. I love county government. I love the county level of government. And all of their powers are being sucked into the state, you know, centralized at the state, and the state's delegating those to the federal government, and they're delegating it to the World Health Organization and the United Nations and things like that. It's just like, this is going in a really, really bad direction.
Yeah, and until we the people say stop, you know, I will say one word here. It's revolution. But I'm not talking about guns and bullets and blood. I'm talking about people coming awake and saying, stop this nonsense. We need to be heard again. Let me give you another quote. There's one of my favorite ones here by James Madison, one of our other founding fathers, talking about, again, coming on the side of a republic versus a democracy. Here's this quote. He says, a pure democracy can admit no cure for the mischiefs of faction. In other words, if you have divisiveness at the higher level, there's no cure for that. But a Republican, because the people will decide, that's the cure. He says, a common passion or interest will, in almost every case, be felt by a majority. And there is nothing to check the inducements to sacrifice the weaker party. Hence, it is that democracies have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths.
I love that. James Madison, I love Madison.
Whoa, isn't that just the absolute thing to talk about why Senate Bill 54 is nonsense? We don't need to bypass the will of the people through the Congress. And this was a debate going on when they were trying to ramrod that through with the special interests, wasn't it, Phil?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and they'll take violent means to make sure that they maintain their power. I mean, you got still people sitting in jail from, you know, January 6th, and they'll stop at nothing to maintain their grasp.
Yeah, that's another topic of another show. I've actually had communications with some of the innocent ones that have not yet gone to trial even. Heavens, it's been 4 years, nearly 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, they just sentenced Tina Peters in Colorado to 15 years in jail. She's 70 years old. They destroyed her life, bankrupted her, divorced her from her husband without her consent even by putting him in a nursing home. I mean, it was just, it's like, goodness, I've told people with the Gulag Archipelago, that book, you know, if you think this couldn't happen in the United States, it could. Not only could it is happening in the United States. There are things happening that like would just make your head spin if you were, you know, reading it from an objective distance.
Well, Phil, you know, the Power Hour, Joyce Riley, her story, she's basically took this hour show and built it into quite a strong foundation, primarily for being an advocate for our veterans, those people who have suffered and bled and died and given a lot for this country. And that's really the large listeners of this show, the veterans. And I just reach out to the veterans, wherever you may be listening to this, whether it's live or on a podcast review, listen up. All of the blood shed on the beaches of Normandy in the World War II, going back into what we were fighting for in the Great War, World War I, all the way back to the revolution itself. This is the crux of what we're fighting for right here. It's not about bringing democracy. It's about getting the people empowered through a republic form of government. That's what it is. And that's the biggest export that America has. Number one is our liberty and our freedoms vouchsafed by our U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment to speak, to not be censored. Okay, yeah, we have the right to keep and bear arms, but what is the right for keeping and bear arms? Read the whole Second Amendment completely. It's to keep and bear arms to be able to assemble. See, if you don't have rights, if you're not a well-armed lamb, you're going to be you'll be sent into the mincemeat and have some mint juleps placed around you, and you're going to be eaten. That's why we have Second Amendment rights, ladies and gentlemen. It's because we have to guarantee the right to peaceably assemble. To basically do what? Assemble to do what? To say this, our vote needs to count. Benjamin Franklin said it best, folks. A well-armed lamb to guard the sanctity of the voting process. You ain't going to eat me up, you know, you yeah. two wolves. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
Well.
Yeah, yeah, and these are not small things, you know. That's I love how the left will come out and say, "Oh, please, don't you have anything better to talk about than elections and you know the big lie?" And it's like, yeah, probably not. This is probably the most important thing. And I ran a not to get off, but it, just along the same line, I ran a bathroom bill last year that said, you know, if you're born a boy, you're a boy. If you're born a girl, you're a girl. And oh my goodness, you know, don't Republicans have anything better to talk about than some bathrooms? Is like, oh, this isn't about bathrooms. This is like a core, you know, part of our society when we talk about gender and representative government and the right to vote. And they just try to dismiss everything that you come up with as a small thing. And it's like, these are not small things. These are the really, really big things. And you get these wrong. And then, like you say, then you don't have a representative form of government. They can do whatever they want. And you can't unelect them. So,
yeah. Well, you know, Phil, I don't know what your schedule is tomorrow. We're running out of time. This hour goes by rapidly, fast I knew it would. I think a lot of people are listening to this and not wanting to really question or call in. I just don't see anybody coming on the line, and that's fine. Tomorrow is another hour. Again, we can go and touch on subjects if you're free tomorrow to come on and even take some calls. Be specifically there. If not, we'll just continue on with this because it is a crossroads right now for America, in my opinion. We can't allow, again, the swing states. I analyze what's happening here. Why are the swing states being the epicenter for all these illegal immigrants under Kamala, Comrade Kamala? Why? See, what's really going on with that? Man, you swing it, there's not going to be a two-party system. Even a democracy is not at yeah. risk, is not
yeah, it's clear
happening.
Yeah, it's clear what they're doing.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back and we'll close up with my guest today, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Phil Wyman, hopefully the next governor of the great state of Utah. Maybe even president of the United States. I'm going to need a President Wyman, and I tell you what, we'll be right back to his messages. Don't go away.
There has never been a better time to buy gold and silver. To buy gold and silver direct, call our partners at Cornerstone Asset Metals. You can reach them at 888-747-3309 and make sure to tell them the Power Hour sent you.
In a world full of uncertainties, one thing you can control is your preparedness. Heaven's Harvest is here to help you protect your family when it matters most. Imagine having peace of mind with every meal, knowing it's non-GMO and made right here in the USA. From emergency survival food that lasts up to 25 years to heirloom seeds that ensure your garden thrives, we've got you covered. Why wait for a crisis when you can be ready now? With Heaven's Harvest, you're not just buying supplies, you're investing in your family's future. Secure your peace of mind with Heaven's Harvest. Stay prepared, stay safe. Your family deserves it. Visit thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829 and take the first step towards ultimate preparedness today.
BBS Radio TV. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio TV, a place for answers.